I'm so excited about this interview because I'm such a big fan of this guy's products.
Yes.
Specifically one.
Yes.
Everybody knows I'm a big fan of Patron Tequila.
Oh, yeah.
And we have now on just an amazing story this guy has. It's John Paul DeJoria. He's co-founder of the Paul Mitchell line of hair products and the Patron Spirits Company.
Amazing.
Good morning.
Hi, Chaz and AJ in Connecticut and New York, and a big good morning to you guys.
Morning to you.
Very excited to talk to you because you have an amazing story. I mean, you grew up not so rich, correct?
That is 100% correct. Not even close to it.
Yeah. Your mom was a single mom who worked multiple jobs to keep you guys going?
Yeah, that's correct. We had a deadbeat dad, unfortunately, before I was two. So it was all about mom and her two sons, my brother and I. She's a great one. Just a wonderful woman.
I find that like most success stories start with the person coming from a disadvantage in some way.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, we had to work quite a few disadvantages and, shall we say, challenges along the way. And some pretty good ones, might one say, is failure. But I think one of the reasons for me even writing this book, Success Unshared is Failure, is I've been asked for years to, can you tell people if it still works? I mean, you started JP homeless, living in your car when you started Paul Mitchell. And today, well, obviously, you're rather well off financially in other areas. But can you still do that today where it's rags to riches? Is that American dream still true? And the answer is yes. And that's why I spent 2.5 years writing this book. So I can not only let the young people and the older people, more mature people, know that America really still does work. You could actually start homeless like I did. So the book is not only my life history, but it's in there how you do it. How today you could start that and become, you know, from, let's say, homeless to a billionaire. But along the way, you've got to share. You got to share with other people, make their lives
better.
Speaking
of sharing, you're a billionaire. Billionaire.
Right.
We're not.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not.
I wasn't until just recently, believe me. But you can still share it. It's all about, even if you have no money, like even my motorcycle days, okay, where you had no money, there's other things you could do to share. You could stand in line to help feed the homeless. You give people a helping hand.
Right.
My mom taught us that at a very young age. We had nothing. She taught us how to share. We had nothing. So it was really, really easy to do. And then the world does work, and America works.
There's a great story of you when you're six and your mom had you donate all that you had.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Christmas time. I was 6 years old. This would be 1950 at that time. And she took us to downtown L.A. from Echo Park and the little trolley cars we had in those days. And there was a man ringing a bell. And my mom gave me, it was at Christmas time because they had all these things going on in the windows of the big department stores and little trains on the street little kids could ride. But she gave my brother and I a dime and said, go put that in the bucket, boys. Hold the dime together. Together, drop that dime in the bucket. And okay, and we did. We did what mom said. We went back and said, Mom, why do we give him a dime? Now, remember, this is 1950.
Yeah.
So we said, Mom, that's two big soda pops and three big candy bars. Why do we give him a dime? And Mom said, boys, that's the Salvation Army. And there are people that have no food to eat, no place to stay, and they need help. We could only afford a dime. But always remember, boys, that there's always someone that needs something more than you do. Give something. And if we can't wait, we have a dime this year. That's all we could really afford. But or volunteer time. But always do something for someone else. And I never forgot that. Mom was just a gem, a positive lady. And when she said something, she came across with beauty in her heart. Wonderful lady.
John Paul DeJoria is on, co-founder of the Paul Mitchell Hairline of Products and the Patron Spirits Company. The book's called Success Unshared is Failure. Tell us about how you started out broke, living in your car. You borrow $700 and you start this company.
You betcha. Yeah, we had a backer. I thought because of my experience in the industry, I could actually start the hair care company with as little as $500,000. Now, this is 1980. That's like a couple million today. Our backer pulled out the last day. Now, this is something good for all of your guests on your show to know. In 1980, when I started this company, things were a lot worse than you could ever imagine. And that's why the backer pulled out. The last minute he pulled out, I left everything I was doing, waiting for some money to come in. Why did the guy pull out? Inflation in the United States in 1980 and 81 was 12.5%. Unemployment 10.5%. If you could get a loan, which we could never get a loan, by the way, never, other than through my mom, it was 17%. 17% was the lowest interest rate, and we waited in line for gasoline. Worst time, the guy said, to start any. He's sorry, but, you know, when our hostages were still in Iran, and it was just a really bad time. He said, I can't risk it. So everything happened all at once. We had no money, but we knew we had a darn good product, and we had no money to promote it. But if we could somehow get through this and let people try this product, they're going to like it. So things were a lot worse economically, as well as everything else you could ever imagine. The worst time to start a business. Today, it's a lot easier. So I figured out a way to live off $2.50 a day, sleep in my car, go shower down in Griffith Park, for example, and just how to make it. It was really day-to-day, mouth-to-mouth, and it took us 2 years to even pay our bills on time. But we knew we had something good, and we were going to stick by it. It was very, very difficult days.
You did something smart. You went right to the hair salons,
right,
the and
stores.
Built a relationship with them instead of the supermarkets and trying to find shelf space. But how did you take $700 and turn that? What did you do with the $700?
Very good question. Okay. I had a few hundred dollars in my pocket when I left my relationship and left any money I had in the better car behind, came down the hill. Then I borrowed $350, and my partner, the hairdresser, Paul Mitchell, he came over from Hawaii where he lived with his girlfriend, and he had $350. That's all we kind of had together. So here's how we did it. I set it up in advance where we were getting $100,000 of four different products, actually three different products at the time, in bottles. We would split it up, and we had 30 days payments all scheduled for everything. So all of a sudden we had no money. So how did I pull this one off? I realized that I'm going to go pounding on doors like I did when I sold encyclopedias door to door. So I called up the silk screener and the bottle man and the feller and told them all, because I didn't want to tell them we had no money now, or they wouldn't even talk to us. So they thought we'd have all this money coming in. So I said, look, can I get only 10,000 bottles, 3,000 shampoo one, 3,000 shampoo two, 4,000 our new revolutionary conditioner as a sample order? They said, of course you could. We're wondering why you never even wanted a sample order. All three of them said yes, except for the guy who did the artwork for our bottles. He wanted $1,000. And we said, look, we told him the truth. We only have $700 here, and it's difficult, okay? He said, okay. I said, what if we give you $200 or $300, and then we'll pay you the rest when we make some money and when we sell the product? He said, nope. He says, I'll take all $700 because I'll never see the other $300. There went our $700. But it took about 2 weeks from the time I ordered from the silk screener the bottles and the bottle maker to actually get them filled. But then we had 2 weeks before the first fill was due. So I piled the product in my car, drove up Ventura Boulevard in Los Angeles, lived there at the time, knocking on doors, beauty salon to beauty salon. Why beauty salons? No money, no advertising, no staff. But hairdressers are very smart. They know what something really works. And if we could get it in their hands and they could use it, they could tell their customers about it. And then we taught them retailing, I think for the first time in the salon industry, how to show your customer in between visits how to use these products to create their own hairstyle. And we had a very revolutionary products. In fact, so revolutionary that those three that we started with 46 years ago are still good sellers today. Anyway, and we showed them, and it was very, very difficult. However, what I also did was when I went around, it took me a week and a half to get 12 orders from salons. And I'm pretty good at what I do, but people said, hey, you have no name other than your product. It's new. We don't know about it. Why should we take you on? And then, of course, I explained to them why we should take them on. But it took about a week and a half to sell 12 different people, anywhere from $25 up to $125. And what I did was I took their checks, delivered on the spot, obviously, and then had them leave it blank, the top line. I went to the biggest distributor in Los Angeles, already knowing that he's going to say no on this and no on that, because I'd been in the industry for a few years. So I went to him and showed him our product, and he said, look, you're a nice guy. You got pretty cool products here. But, man, you're honest with me. You have no staff. You have no money, no nothing. You want me to build your product line for you out of just a few products here with no backup whatsoever? He says, I can't do it. Please understand, unless you give me another reason why. We're Parasace, the biggest beauty supply company. me in Southern California. You can't do it. So I said, I do have another reason why. He goes, oh, okay, what is that? I put all 12 checks out of my pocket, and I put them in front of him. I just laid them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12. I said, those are your first 12 customers. I've already sold them for you. Fill out your name right there. I've already made the delivery. That's your first 12. He laughed and said, I said, oh, my God, okay, I'll give you a shot here. He says, but you better show up tomorrow or whenever the products arrive and go with my salesman in the field to show them how the world you did it. This is really something different. He says, that's great. I said, well, sir, there's one more thing, too, and I planned this in advance. I said, can you give me a check for $2,000? Because that's what I'll deliver the first products to you, because we really need the money. He laughed his head off and said, no, we're Paris A Speedy Supply. We don't pay our bills for 45 days. He said, we can't do that. I said, well, how about this? How about if I gave you a 5% discount? I already figured that out in advance. So I raised all my prices by 5%. He goes, really? He goes, wow, well, that's like 60% a year. He goes, okay, but you better show up. I said, okay. Anyways, we brought him to our 25th anniversary, for example. And he told everybody the story. He says, so JP leaves my office, and within 2 minutes, my back delivery area where the dock started delivery products, my manager called me and said, hey, there's some guy back here unloading a few boxes out of his car. He wants a check for $2,000. He laughed his head off, went back there, gave me the check, said, I'll see you tomorrow morning. And that's kind of how we got going. And I learned how to live in the car, but you put your head by the steering wheel because your body flips over and there's no steering wheel in front of it on the other side. So it's easy to do. And at the Freeway Cafe, 99 cents for breakfast. If you came between 9 and 11, they call it the trucker's breakfast. You got one egg, one either a piece of bacon or sausage, one piece of bread, and your choice of orange juice or coffee. I took the orange juice. I took the one piece of bread.
Do you go through these lessons in the book? Because these are great lessons. So not only like guts and grit,
yeah,
but also how to survive with almost nothing.
Savvy, yeah.
Oh, God, how do we have an office? I mean, we had almost no money. So I ended up getting everything for very little. It's all in the book.
This is a movie, right? Like, I would watch this movie.
This is definitely a movie, yeah.
I'd pay to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's, I can tell you, John Paul DeJoria
is on. He's the co-founder of Paul Mitchell line of hair products and the Patron Spirits Company.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, anyways, and so in the book, Success and Shared is Failure, it's not only what we're talking about right now, it's a whole history, but it also shows how anybody can go from homeless, I don't care what your situation is, to making the American dream happen. That's exactly how it was done. It was done in such a way that along the way, I was able to help others. That's why it's Success Unshared is Failure. And when you help others, it's the most amazing thing that takes place. So it's also about kindness, how to run a major corporation with kindness. An example, Paul Mitchell Worldwide, we're in about 128 countries right now. And with Patron, we were in about 133 countries.
Yeah, let's talk about Patron for a second, because that's a little bit easier because now you have money. Now you're not living in your car.
Right.
But you saw something.
9 years later.
The thing here is you saw something that no one else saw, because at the time, tequila was just a cheap drink.
Yeah.
$5 a bottle average.
Right.
Yep.
So what made you think that you could do something different, that there was a market there?
You know, if we leave ourselves up to the universe, a lot of things come our way. The way that happened was I was building a house on the West Coast for my family. And while I was doing it, this fellow named Martin Crowley came on by. He was a friend of a friend's, and he had gone bankrupt in hospitality. And so we started together in the architectural business. He'd go to Mexico, bring back pavers and furniture, sell it to restaurants or architectural and model homes. So I said, Martin, when you go back down there, we're buying some stones now for the house I'm building there in California. Would you please, when you down there, because we were drinking tequila where you lick the salt, you know, and then you take your shot and then you do the
to hide the taste. Yeah.
Why don't you see what they drink down there? Bring back a couple bottles. Well, Martin did. And it was the smoothest tequila we'd ever had. But he said, but JP, I met a guy named Francisco Alcaraz. He can make it smoother. Martin, go back down to Mexico. And he did. He brought back a smoother version. I said, God, this is great. Hey, let's go in the tequila business. We knew nothing about it. That's nothing about the book. It shows you how to do it if you know nothing about the business you're going into. We didn't know anything about it, and nobody wanted to take it because we had to sell it for $37.95 a bottle, where the average tequila was $5 a bottle.
Yeah.
So it was really tough getting going, but we maneuvered around. And
now look
said,
at
nope,
yeah. Now look at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look how many people followed.
Seriously.
And made billions.
Yeah, it's high end now.
In riding your wake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got it. In fact, you hit it on the button because when we started, we were the first ultra premium tequila that was expensive out there. Today, there's over 200. I sold Patron about 7 years ago, actually almost 8 years ago. My new tequila is called Bandero. However, I had a 5-year non-compete, so even though I developed it before, and it's not a Patron product. So you could do something even when the market is flooded. We're not in all states right now, but we're in about 7 states and building that lineup gradually because it won the gold medal in Mexico for the best tequila. But you can do things today even though the situation has changed.
Man, I can't wait to get my hands on this book.
Seriously.
And I'm sure this will be made into a documentary.
It should be.
And I can't wait to see that. I love your story.
Yeah,
it's a great inspiration. Thanks for giving back.
Oh, guys, that's what we have to do. And here's something else, too, that I want your readers to know, please, and your listeners, excuse me, to know. And it's just that we can change the world together. That's what my purpose is now. Besides giving millions of dollars investing in the homeless or battered women or little children or groceries or really organic growing, you know, which I'm into, regenerative growing and everything else. Other than that, that it's things still work. And when you give to somebody else without asking anything in return, you get the greatest high you'll ever get. And I know what high's all about. I'm a child of the 60s. I went through that. And there was no weed we could smoke in the 1960s that gets you as high as doing something for somebody else and asking nothing in return. But you know you did something good.
Gary from Wallingford, Connecticut's on. He asked me to ask you about your daughter. She's a funny car driver.
Oh, Alexis. Oh, she's the best. Her car goes 337 miles an hour in 3.58 seconds. Oh, she's phenomenal. She's in the top 5 drivers in the world now. But Alexis always liked to be into cars. She was a little girl, we could afford a little one of those electric cars.
Yeah.
And she would drive it around the driveway and do donuts in it.
Nice.
And the biggest deal that ever happened was about 7 years ago in her Top Fuel funny car. She won the U.S. Nationals in Indy. She won in Indy, the U.S. Nationals. It was a total upset. First, I think, girl in Top Fuel funny car to ever do that.
Yeah.
She is wonderful, magnificent, and she gives back all the time. God, I'm so proud of Alexa.
That's great.
What a great segment.
So proud of you.
Thank you so much for coming on, John Paul DeJoria, co-founder of Paul Mitchell Line of Hair Care Products, the Patron Spirits Company, and author of Success Unshared is Failure. Thank you, John. You're always welcome here.
You betcha. Get your book right now. The first edition is out, and that's the collector's item. And I guarantee you'll love the book.
Well, if you want to share your success, you could send me a book.
Yeah.
But
Patron.
Yes. Thank you, sir.